Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Was 2 weeks ago, how important that was that God addressed her doubt because it actually turned into faith for her. Well, following that, last week we talked about following that good news interaction, Abraham continues to try to walk with his visitors as they are leaving, and he kind of hangs around a little bit, and the Lord says, Abraham's my friend, am I going to hold back from Abraham what I'm about to do? Am I going to hold back what I'm about to do? What was he about to do? He was about to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and see if the cries that he had heard about how bad things were and how evil things were, if it was really that bad, because judgment was coming to those cities. And he said, no, I'm going to reveal this to Abraham, and he gave some reasons of why. And as he began to reveal that to Abraham, the two angels who were with him went on ahead, but Abraham remained with the Lord, and he began to intercede. And we talked about the importance of intercessory prayer. We're going to see the fruit tonight of intercessory prayer. We talked about what intercessory prayer was, but tonight in chapter 18, we're going to see the fruit of Abraham's intercession for the righteous. But with that, the focus shifts over to Lot, and with that, we're going to see what happens here. So in Genesis 18, 20 to 21, the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see what has been done. Is as bad as the outcry that has reached me? If not, I will know. How many know that God is a holy God? He's a holy God. God has to deal with sin. He cannot not deal with sin. Cannot not. I don't even sure if that's right. He has to deal with sin because it's part of his nature. It's part of his holiness. Now, he's loving and gracious, and he gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And if you remember correctly, a few chapters back, this Sodom and Gomorrah and these cities had been invaded by some other armies, and they were carried away. And it was Abraham, through the power of Jehovah God, that came and pursued that army that was much greater than him and brought back everybody and brought back those spoils and was able to save them. But still, they did not change their ways. They didn't take this as an opportunity, an extension of God's grace, but they continued in their sin. Sin so grievous that a holy God had to deal with their sin. And so in Genesis 18, 22, following Abraham's concern and his intercession for his wayward nephew and their family and for these cities in his intercession, it says, the men turned and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And he began, and that's where the story picks up here, as the two angels have gone, and the story in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1 picks up. And it says this, Genesis 19, I'm sorry, flip the chapter over, Genesis 19 tonight, Genesis 19, starting in verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city, very important. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we'll spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Now, verse 1 informs us of something very, very important. And that is that as the two angels approached and came to Sodom towards the evening, evening was a deliberate contrast. It was a deliberate contrast to the noontime scene where they had been with Abraham, who had welcomed them, who had shown hospitality. Now they come into the cities at evening time. These same angels approach. And where is Lot? Lot is at the gate of the city. Now, if you remember back when Abraham and Lot had come back from Egypt and they had come back to the land and they were moving around and they both had great wealth and great cattle and their herdsmen began to fight, you can remember that at that time Abraham said, "Lay, let's not fight. Let's not fight about this. If you go to the east, I'll go to the west. If you go to the north, I'll go to the south. There's plenty of land. You go your way, I'll go mine. You choose first." And what did Lot do? Lot looked. And the desires of his heart, the desires of his soul, the desires of his eyes saw the well-watered plains of the Jordan. And he said, that's where I want to be. And so when he went down there, if you remember correctly, he pitched his tents near Sodom. Pitched them near Sodom. That's where he went. He went down in that area. But we slowly see him pitching his tent near Sodom to now all of a sudden he's at the gates of the city. Now you have to understand something about the gate, because the implication is that not only was Lot near the city, but Lot was involved in the city. He was involved in the influence and the politics of the city. Those who were at the gate were involved in the politics. So Lot had began his journey getting near, and that longing of his heart then took him into the gates of the city. And I don't know, perhaps when he got carried away, he thought, you know what? We shouldn't be outside the city. We need to be under the protection of the city. So they began to move and they began to be a part of the gates of the city. He had political ambitions. He might not have been aware of the earthly success that he desired, but that earthly success was about to cost him. It was going to be costly. And that's where he started. He started in Ur of the Chaldees and followed his uncle. I mean, he had faith. He began by following his uncle, but somewhere along the line, his heart began to desire other things. Whether that began when Uncle Abraham decided in a drought to go to Egypt and he saw the wealth that was there and came back, when he saw the well-watered plain, somewhere in his heart, the desires of his heart for the material pleasures of this world began to allow compromise to be birthed into what was at one point a life of faith. A life that left with his uncle to pursue the promise and plan of God became something more. It became Lot pursuing the promises, or the not the promises, but the prosperity that he so desired from this world. And so that's what we see. We see this desire for materialism. And so Lot, along the way, somehow he ends up at the gate of the city. And so throughout the story, we're going to see the painful consequences of compromise. In the first thing that we see is that Lot compromised his moral standards for political standing. He compromised his moral standards for political standing. Lot invited these visitors into his home. He understood. Lot knew what was going on in the city. All right? He knew what was happening in the city. He knew the dangers. This was more than just hospitality. For when they refused his hospitality, he urged them so strongly, the scripture says. And it uses that language. He urged them strongly to enter his home. In other words, Lot wasn't going to take no for an answer. He wasn't taking no for an answer. Undoubtedly, he had witnessed the behavior of his fellow Sodomites towards unsuspecting visitors who had come into their city. He insisted these angels that they would spend the night in his home. And it's here that we see that Lot had not compromised to the point where he was engaging in the lifestyle of the city, but yet he was not willing to confront the problem. Maybe his political aspirations were, maybe I can get enough influence that I might be able to change the atmosphere. I might be able to change what's going on around here. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, we see that Lot wasn't engaging in it. He wasn't approving of it, yet at the same time, he understood just how evil the city was. He knew what was happening in the city, but he wasn't willing to confront the problem. He kind of lived with a hope, maybe small, unsuspecting ways where he could help. Unfortunately, if Lot had hoped that his guest entered his home unnoticed, he was wrong. So we pick up Genesis 19, verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. Notice both young and old. This was a generational thing. This was something that was a part of the culture. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them, and he shut the door behind him, and he said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you like with them, but don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. "This fellow has come here as a foreigner," talking about Lot, "and now he wants to play judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. The city of Sodom has become a symbol for perversion, hasn't it? It's become a symbol of perversion, and we see that here. the gross sexual perversion and lust that ruled the city and led to violence and so many reasons. This was part of the reason God was bringing his judgment. And Lot tried to position himself at the city gate, maybe to have some influence in that. But the moral climate had not influenced, Lot has not influenced the moral climate whatsoever. In fact, he's trying to protect his guests, and the perversity of the culture seemed to cause him to lose focus morally and even offer his daughters as a compromise. And I understand there are some things here that when you bring somebody under your roof, you protect them. Yet at the same time, you can see that Lot is even willing here that compromise even is impacting his family. We all have had similar experiences, haven't we? Where sin causes us to do some pretty insane things. Things we never thought we would do. Things we never thought would come to our doorstep. Things that we never thought we would compromise in. But when we begin to compromise, sin is an insane thing. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, I want you to forgive me of this sin. Maybe we have an area we've struggled with. I promise you, Lord, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. And then you walk right out the door and you find that sin is creeping there right at the door. Sin doesn't operate logically or rationally. And here is Lot calling these people wicked, yet he's willing to offer his own daughters. What's the response? Has Lot compromise earned him any influence whatsoever? No, compromise never offers us or never gains us any influence. Compromise never gains us any influence. In fact, in verse 9, they said, "Get out of our way. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge." Man, they kept bringing pressure. Friends, I'm going to tell you that if you are not careful, when there is compromise, you may think you are strong, but you start going to round people and you start compromising and you start thinking that somehow you're going to be able to change them, you're going to find that they're going to keep pressuring you. The more we compromise, the more we lose our footing. The more we compromise, the more we lose our integrity. We lose that ability to be able to influence others. You don't influence others through compromising your faith and your values. You influence others when you're willing to take a stand when nobody else is. As the men of Sodom were trying to break down the door, as they were trying to break down the door, the two angels grabbed Lot, they shut the door, and they struck these guys with blindness. They couldn't see. Do you see the grace of God here? Abraham's intercession. Let me just point back to that for a moment. Abraham was interceding, and here it is. There's judgment that could come, and Lot, even in this situation, is being protected. Lot's compromise led to a lack of spiritual influence in the people around him, and God was still moving. Secondly, his compromise led to a reluctance to heed the warning of judgment. His compromise led to reluctance to heed the warnings of judgment. Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 12, the two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-laws, sons or daughters or anyone else in the city who belong to you? Get them out of here because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great, he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and he spoke to his sons-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. And he said, "Hurry, get out of this place because the Lord's about to destroy the city." You see, Lot is believing it. When they're bringing the warning, Lot recognizes. I think he recognized at the city gate there was something different about these people. I think that was why he was willing to go to the extent he was to protect them. I think he was recognizing what was going on. And so he knows the judgment. He recognizes the judgment. He knows the judgment is coming. He's trying to heed the warning. And so he's running around and he's trying to warn everybody else. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming against our city. Judgment is coming. What's the response? But his sons-in-laws thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry. Take your wife and your daughters who are here, and you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Again, this is the grace. This is the power of the intercession that was going on. Yet what I want you to see is that when Lot began a heart of compromise, that heart of compromise did not allow anyone to heed the warning and hurry when the warnings of judgment came. They drug their feet. They thought he was joking. They didn't take it seriously. Friend, I believe that at times the church is so compromised where we stand and what we believe that we've lost our place of influence in the world around us. We've lost our place of influence. We talk about the Lord is coming back. We talk about that judgment is coming, that those who don't know Jesus Christ are going to go to hell. And there are people who laugh and joke and say, oh, you must be kidding. Where is our influence? Where is our influence? They drug their feet. They drug their feet in those twilight hours before sunrise. I can only imagine Lot's frantic effort to convince his own family of the impending judgment. But because of the spiritual compromise, his wife and his two daughters, they weren't willing to leave the city. They had to be pulled by the hand and out of the city. Compromise had destroyed his testimony. In fact, Lot had lost such credibility that his own sons-in-law thought he was joking, that they couldn't take him seriously. They're not told that they refused to believe him so much as they just didn't take him seriously. And the only possible explanation is this. Lot had never mentioned his faith before. His words were not repetition of lifelong warnings of sin and judgment. There's something of new, something novel. What a rebuke to the witness that is there. That can't be real. That really can't be. Are you serious? I've never heard you talk like this before. Really? Judgment? Who are those people? Really, you're going to believe these strangers that have come into our town? Telling us judgment is coming? Furthermore, Lot's lack of spiritual influence with those closest to him delayed them moving in the direction that God wanted to take them. Genesis 19:15 continues, with the coming of dawn, the angels heard Lot saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. And it says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and two daughters. They literally had to pull them out by the mercy of God. Was it not for the mercy of God, they would have been swept away by judgment. Let me tell you something. You might want to write this down. Spiritual compromise will always lead us to a lack of urgency when the warning and judgment of God is impending. Spiritual compromise will always lead us to a lack of urgency when the warning and judgment of God is impending. That's what happens with compromise. And we see the mercy of God grabbing them and taking them out of the city. And so Genesis 19:29 tells us what happened. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Let me just go back to last week. Never devalue the importance of intercession. Don't devalue the importance of intercession. Some of you have loved ones that have known the Lord, that knew the Lord, and maybe they're not serving the Lord. Continue to intercede and pray. God is merciful. God is merciful. Even when Lot lacked a testimony, even when Lot had lacked influence, even when Lot and his family were hesitating, the mercy of God, because of the intercession of Abraham, allowed them to get out of the judgment of the city. Never, never devalue the importance of interceding. But the next section here that we see, Lot and his family are given some instructions. And you know, you can be let out of judgment, but then God allows you to also have some choices. This is an important section. Probably, I've shared some things, but I'm going to tell you, this is really important. That when God in his mercy spares you, when God in his mercy moves and rescues you, pay attention to this. All right? Pay attention to this. If you shut me out, open your ears and listen right now, because this is really, really, really important. Genesis 19:7 says, as soon as he brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't be swept away. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. You know what the instructions are? Flee. Flee. There is instructions in the New Testament. Flee youthful lusts. Flee. Kind of like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was after him, he didn't hang around and wait and try to convince her to stop and this wasn't good. He got out of the house and left his cloak behind. If you got to leave your cloak behind, it doesn't matter. It's not as important. Get out. Flee. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Go to the mountains, and given the events of last evening and the perversity of the city is showing full force, the danger of the men that tried to push through and kill Lot, the angels showing supernatural power to blind these men and save Lot's family, you would think the true colors of Lot's political influence and everything that he had worked to try to, the success and everything and seeing it all wiped away, you would think, you know what, I'm going to follow the instructions of these guys. They have been right so far. They know what they're doing, right? That's what you would think. Oh, but here's number three tonight. Compromise leads to more compromise. Compromise can lead to more compromise. We've got to guard against it. Genesis 19 here, look at this. But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes. You have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. In other words, you have given me great grace. You have given me great grace here, great mercy. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here's a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. And they said, very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it. And that's why the town was called Zoar, and Zoar means little. Now, where was Zoar? Zoar was in the plains. Where were the instructions that were given? Go to the mountains, right? Go to the mountains. Lot says, I can't go to the mountains. I'm never going to make it. I don't have the strength. I look at myself and I can't get there. You've been merciful. You've shown me grace. And in grace, allow me to compromise a little bit more. This one's just a small one, though. It's a little small city right over. It's just a small one. Let me just have this one small compromise. Just one more small compromise. Just let me go just over here. I don't want to go all the way to the mountains. I just want to go over here to the plains. That's what's going on, all right? That's what's going on. But not to go all the way, not to flee, not to run, not to obey fully. We're only going to partially obey. In your grace and mercy, will you just give us a little partial obedience? That's what's going on. That's what's happening. He's familiar enough. He knows the plains. He's probably traded back and forth. There might even still be a little bit of a longing somewhere in his soul to think, in that big city of Sodom, I was at the gates and I had influence and I've kind of lost it all. This is a small city. Maybe if I just go there, we can start over again. Hey, honey, come on. It's not so bad. We left there. We can go. We can start in this little city. We'll be okay. I'll be able to gain my influence back in no time. That's probably what's going on inside. I don't want to go to the mountains. Nobody survives them. There's nobody up there. There's nothing up there. I don't want to go to the mountain. Just give me this little city right over here, Zoar. I just want here because I still have a little bit in my heart that still wants to compromise. There's just a little bit. I don't want to fully obey you. I still have a little bit in here that I still think I can control my little world. God planned on destroying all the cities of the plains. That means that Zoar, maybe not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, but still was about to be wiped away. And Lot is not interceding for Zoar. Oh, there's righteous in Zoar. No. He's looking out for himself. It's justified. It's just small. But Song of Solomon 2:15 says, be careful of little foxes because the little foxes spoil the vine. The little foxes. It's the little things. Maybe he's thinking, you know what? I have these daughters and I don't have anybody to marry them. If I go up to the mountains, there's going to be nobody up there. Who's going to marry my daughters? Let me go to Zoar. I mean, that's his family planning, right? It's all kinds of things. All kinds of ways we justify. And that's what happens with compromise. We justify. And we think it's just little. Little things that we can justify. We can figure it out. We can make it work. We can just, I don't have the strength. I can't do this. And we look in the natural and we try to justify all the reasons why our compromise is okay. But there are consequences that come with compromise. In verse 23, by the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord God rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation of the land. But, and this is not a good one, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Compromise caused Lot to lose his wife. Compromise caused Lot to lose his life. Instead of fleeing to the mountains where you'd be in the mountains, and even if you turned, all you're going to see is mountains, you're not going to be able to see back over the city by getting in there. Lot, by staying in the plain, gave an opportunity for what was truly in his wife's heart to take over so that she would look back and long to be in that city. Compromise caused him to lose his wife. Earlier, it was a great deal of emotional attachment. That's what it shows, that Lot's wife had a great deal of emotional attachment to that city. For her to look back, it was more than just looking back, but there was a longing in her heart. And friends, that's what happens with compromise. It puts a longing in our heart. And when we compromise, it impacts our families. When we don't obey fully, there are consequences. God may spare and give us a second chance, but don't use compromise to pursue his plan. You can't use compromise to pursue the plan of God. If you do, you'll find yourself drawn right back into judgment and pain. I wish this is where it ended for Lot. I wish. But there was judgment upon his wife and that came. I wish I could say that during this, that when they fled, that there was great repentance and there was great turning back to the Lord. I wish I could tell you that in this story. I wish I could tell you that it ended with full repentance, but it doesn't. In fact, it ended in more moral compromise. More moral life, more compromise with his daughters now. Genesis 19, 30 to 38, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar. Notice they couldn't even stay in Zoar. Where he wanted to flee, where he wanted to go, the small compromise, he didn't end up staying there. You know, we always think that that's going to be best. We always think that's going to lead. But then when we find out it's not what we thought it was going to be, then we're suddenly willing to obey the Lord. He didn't stay there. He settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. No wonder. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old and there's not a man around to give us children. As is the custom all over the earth, let's go to get our father to drink wine and then sleep with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night they got their father to drink wine. The older daughter went in and slept with him, and he was not aware of it when she lay down and when she got up. "Let's get him to drink wine again tonight. You go and sleep with him so that we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went in and slept with him. And again, he was not aware of it when she lay down and when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab, and he's the father of the Moabites today. And the younger daughter had a son, and she named him Ben-Ami, and he's the father of the Ammonites of today. Who gave the Israelites such a hard time? Who was in the land later on when the Israelites came out of Egypt to take over the promised land? Who did they have to deal with on their way? Who did they have to deal with out of the land? The Moabites and the Ammonites. Compromise leads to pain later on down the road. Too little, too late. Man, Lot was afraid to go to the mountains, but by not going to the mountains, he lost his wife. And in the process, his daughters picked up the moral downness, the moral decay and sin and culture of Sodom and Gomorrah and brought it with them into the mountains. The father was so depressed by everything that he had lost that I'm sure it was a pattern. It was probably nothing for them to be able to get him to drink himself into a stupor. This was probably something he did on a regular occasion. So this was nothing different. Let's get him drunk. This time, though, we'll just take advantage of the situation. I'm quite sure that that's what was happening, that Lot had got himself so compromised that he ended up in a life where he was so depressed and down that he didn't even know what was happening, and quite frankly, I'm not even sure that he cared. He didn't know when they came in. He didn't know when they left. Perversion, a mirror of the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah they'd grown up in and saw as normal. Let me warn you, a little compromise can lead to a lifetime of pain. These nations, as I said, became a thorn in the side of Abraham's descendants. So let me conclude tonight with this. Compromise has consequences. Compromise has consequences. When we not heed the warnings of God, when we use the mercy of God as an opportunity to compromise again, an opportunity to not go fully in obedience to the plan of God, but we continue to compromise, there are devastating consequences. When God's desire is to give us a second chance, is to give us new life, is to give us a new opportunity, when you and I take the grace and the mercy of God, and instead of heeding the warning of God and fully obeying God, we choose to compromise. Friends, there are devastating consequences, not only to us, but to our family and everybody around us. That's what happens with compromise. You lose your testimony when you compromise. You lose your influence when you compromise. And all the other pursuits of your heart that you think you've gained by compromising, you will find are swept away. But it's not what God desires. It's not what God desires. God does not want us to live in compromise. But He desires for us to repent and return to the Lord. Not just big compromise, but what about the little compromises we make? What are the Zors in your life? What are the Zors that you justify? What are the Zors that you justify in your life? Those little cities, those little areas where you ask God, oh God, this isn't so bad. Will you just let me have this? God, this isn't so bad. Just let me have this. This will be okay. I can live like this. This will be fine. And we justify it. Friends, it's not going to lead to where God wants you to go. Doesn't lead to abundant living, but compromise will have a stranglehold on your life. Surrender will allow you to follow His plan completely. So is there compromise in your life tonight? Tonight, as we close and the worship team comes, I want you to search your heart tonight. Is there areas you need to repent? Is there areas when God has been dealing with you? Are there areas of compromise that you need to say, Jesus, forgive me. I need to fully obey you. What are the areas you need to fully obey the Lord in? And again, they're not the big things oftentimes. Oftentimes, they're the little things. What are the little things that God needs to deal with you in your life? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you tonight that we can take lessons from your word. Things, Lord, that are painful, that are difficult to read. Difficult to read, but they serve as examples and warnings. And in your mercy and in your grace, you put us in a place where we can hear the warnings, because that's your love saying, that's not my plan. That's not my desire. I desire to rescue you. I desire to save you. I have something more for you. But God, the longing of our heart and our soul is often a desire to compromise and to do what is easy, to do what we think is going to benefit us in the short term when there's painful consequences in the long term. So Lord, I pray tonight through your Holy Spirit, you would reveal these areas where we have opened our lives to compromise, where we have not fully been obedient to you. When you have said to go to the mountains, we settle for the plain. God, teach us tonight, show us tonight areas in our life where we have been creeping closer to the gates of sin rather than staying away, rather than fully obeying you. Father, lead us and guide us in your mercy and grace to your heart, to your love, and to your plan. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.